This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qaidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah and peace be upon His Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses He to be from amongst those who get together in the house of Allah to remember Allah and to learn more about the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we've been talking about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And as much as we talk about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will never ever give it satisfaction. We will never ever give it satisfaction, because the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the great resources. One of the greatest resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left for us, and one of the greatest sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that continues to live after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And last week we spoke about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam losing his two strongest supporters, his uncle Abu Talib, who died as a disbeliever, and his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who died as a great believer. And Abu Talib was that great supporter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly outside his house, where the people of Quraysh were held back in escalating their attacks on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because Abu Talib. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the spiritual internal comfort for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both of them passed away in 1 year, in the 10th year after the revelation, which is 3-4 years before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. For that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that year the year of Hazan, sorrow, sadness, losing Abu Talib, his uncle, and his wife Khadija. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, and the Sahaba also radiallahu ta'ala anhum say this, that the people of Quraysh did not take advantage of attacking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as they did after the death of Abu Talib. After the death of Abu Talib, they escalated their attacks on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before it was Abu Talib that was protecting the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. We know Allah azza wa jal is the protector first and foremost, but Abu Talib was a mean that was protecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the death of Abu Talib, the people of Quraysh escalated their attacks, abuse on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt it. But at least, if there was the external attacks on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives home, after a long, struggling, pressing, hard day, at least when he used to return back home, Khadija used to be there. She used to comfort him. She used to calm him down. Just looking at her will bring comfort and peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't have that anymore. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it the year of sorrow. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah has not replaced me with anyone greater than Khadija. And that's after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to numerous wives and women after the death of Khadija. Few months after this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to his second wife, which she is his first wife. When I say first wife, Khadija is the first wife. But after the death of Khadija, Sauda was the first wife after the death of Khadija. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to the second wife in order, which was the only wife at that time, Zam'a. Sauda bint Zam'a. Sauda bint Zam'a. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, few months after the death of Khadija, he gets married to Sauda bint Zam'a. Sauda, the daughter of Zam'a. Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first wife the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets married to after the death of Khadija. She was from amongst the first of those who had embraced Islam. And she migrated to Abyssinia, Habasha, with her husband. His name is Sakran ibn Amr. But he passed away in Abyssinia. And then she returned back to Mecca. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to her. After Sauda, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Aisha. After Aisha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to another woman. And then a third woman, and a fourth, and a fifth. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to 10 to 12, because there's differences of opinions amongst the scholars. 10 to 12 different women after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had maximum at one given time 9 wives. You might look at it, but are we as Muslims men at one given time? Yes, you're right. As a Muslim man, you are only allowed to have maximum 4 wives at one given time. I'm not here talking about polygamy or pushing for polygamy. I'm just talking about the Islamic perspective over it. Islamically, a man is allowed to have 4 wives at one given time. But when you look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had 9. Now, before Islam, all prophets and messengers came with one religion. But they had different shara'i'. They had different legislations. In some of those legislations, which is the religion of Islam, some of the prophets and messengers came with Islam and legislations that allowed them to have more than 100 wives at one given time. They were allowed to have that. But with the legislation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam had limited to 4 maximum at one given time. The Arabs during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to get married to tens and hundreds, no limit. But the Sharia came and limited it to 4 given times. How do you apply this when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 9 at one given time? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. Because he's the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, he has a higher responsibility. That responsibility comes with extra struggles, challenges. And part of that struggle and challenge is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows him to do things that others are not allowed to do. So some things which are considered to be haram on the rest of the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halal to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. Some of the things which are haram to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halal to the rest of the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the things are fard on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah to us, and some of the things are fard to us, sunnah on him. For example, what's halal for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haram for the rest of the nation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was allowed to have more than 4 wives at one given time. But the rest of the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not allowed to have 4 wives at one given time, which makes it to be haram on them but halal to him. What's haram on him, halal to the rest of the nation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, a poor person, a poor Muslim is allowed to get zakat money. But that's haram on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the progeny of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. What's fard on the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, sunnah to us, is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was obligated to get up for the nafil prayer, the tahajjud prayer. But for us it's sunnah, for him it's fard. So he's a prophet and a messenger of Allah, so he has a bigger responsibility. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Sauda bint Zam'a as the first wife he gets married to after Khadija. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to more than one wife. But I want to stop here and I want you just to think with me. He had 9 wives at one given time. He had 9 wives at one given time. You've got people who try and attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a womanizer. He had 9 wives. It gives you that perception that this man is a womanizer. He cares about women. And he's more sexually orientated than your normal or your average human being or your average person. I want to break this down because it doesn't make sense to me. Someone like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his peak, his pinnacle state of manhood, and that's 25 years old all the way to 50, he only had one wife in his life, and that was Khadija. After 50, the sexual orientation doesn't go up, starts to decline. It's a reality. After 50 years old, it's not going to go up. It's going to go down. So during the pinnacle peak time of this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was 25 years old to 50, he was married to only one woman. When he had the choice to get married to hundreds of others. And that's before Islam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa chose to stay with one woman that was older than him by 15 years and previously married twice before him. It just doesn't make sense that if you want to claim or you want to allege that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a womanizer, if he's really a womanizer, who would have probably got married to as many women that he wanted and for him to fulfill that sexual urge during his pinnacle time when he was 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. Not when he hit 50 and his first wife and early wife died, when the sexual urge is on a decline, he goes and gets married to a number of women, which means what? He's not a womanizer. Doesn't make sense. If he was really a womanizer, would have went and fulfilled that during his pinnacle time. And the other wives that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to, every single wife the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to, after the death of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, was by a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted. Not because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was searching for more women in his life. No. And every single woman the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to, they were all non-virgin, which means they were all previously married except one, Aisha. In particular, you're talking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone would love to get married to the Prophet Muhammad. Any lady, any woman, young or old, would love to get married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means he had an opportunity for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fulfill his sexual urge and sexual desire by getting married to a number of virgin young women. But that's not the case. Every single woman the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to was previously married. Some of them older than him, except Aisha. So when you really assess it, it just doesn't make sense that someone who is a womanizer will do things like that. And we're talking about from a logical perspective, but he's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the greatest man to ever tread this earth. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so loyal to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed with Khadija and did not get married to anyone during the time of Khadija until she passed away. She passed away 65 years of age. He was 50 years of age, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to his second marriage. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to have more than one wife at one given time. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will continue to praise Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He was so loyal to Khadija. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so loyal to Khadija even after her death. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will continue to visit some friends of Khadija after the death of Khadija as loyalty to Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to talk about Khadija, 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 Khadija in front of Aisha, Aisha started to become jealous. And then she told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, like, you know, that's it, enough. Allah had given you someone better. She's talking about herself. I'm young. I've never been married before. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. To be frank, no. Allah hasn't given me someone better. She's the one that stood by me when everyone went against me. She gave me from her wealth. She supported me. And she's the only woman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me kids from. Subhanallah. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he lost his uncle that was supporting him and lost his wife, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was always there for him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few months after that, decides to get married to his first wife and first marriage after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that's Sauda bint Zam'ah. And Sauda wasn't young, and she had kids, and she's been through a lot. She's one of those Muslim female companions that migrated from Mecca to Medina, and then from Mecca to Abyssinia, Habasha, and returned back to Mecca. And she lost her husband along the way, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to her. But you could see how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is persistent, steadfast, strong. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam continues to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continues to invite people to Allah azza wa jal and continues to stand strong against all the challenges and odds that the people of Quraysh are bringing forward against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized, like, he's calling and speaking to these people and calling and speaking to these people and calling and speaking to these people, and they're only resisting more and more and more. It's not like they are reducing their resistance against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the people of Quraysh are resisting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more and more, and escalating their pressure on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and the rest of the Sahaba. In particular, after the death of Abu Talib, they've escalated. They put more pressure on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and became physical, where they start to push the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hit the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Sahaba. And obviously, if they escalated the pressure on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by default, this would have been escalated upon the companions and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was amongst those that was getting bashed by the people of Quraysh. Other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu were being tortured. Some were wrapped in carpets and lit on a fire just to suffocate them and burn them. Others died. And you could see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will continue to be strong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam verses from the Quran al-Kareem to comfort the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And we all know that the Quran al-Kareem, the scholars had divided and categorized the Quran al-Kareem to the Makki verses and the Madani verses. And the Makki verses are those verses that were revealed before the migration. Madani verses are those verses that were revealed after the migration. But the Makki verses, which are those verses that were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the migration, have a certain style different to the Madani verses. And the style of the Makki verses are always inspirational and motivating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and focusing on aqidah and creed and belief and persistence and steadfastness and perseverance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to reveal those verses, in particular talking about the hellfire and the paradise, and reminding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba what Allah had promised for them, the paradise. Stay strong, stay steadfast, stay perseverant. Allah had promised you the paradise. Don't disobey Allah, don't disbelieve in Allah, otherwise you find yourself in the hellfire. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to think about other options. And the other options the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to think about is, why don't I just walk out or come out of Mecca and start inviting people from outside Mecca to Islam? Maybe because I'm close to these people, I grew up with them. And you know, sometimes when someone is very close to you, they become more resisting in listening to you. That's why you struggle with the close people to you when it comes to da'wah, talking to them. Not all, but a lot of the times you'll struggle to someone who's close to you to talk to them because you're very close to them. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to think of a different strategy. Rather than me just focusing and talking to the people who are close to me, in which I've been talking to them for the last 10 years, and I'm only seeing more resistance from them, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought of a new strategy, and that is to come outside Mecca and start inviting people from outside Mecca into Islam. Maybe we'll get support from outside. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought of the closest place to Mecca and the closest people to him. They are the people of At-Ta'if. So in that year, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to travel from Mecca to At-Ta'if. At-Ta'if is about 100 kilometers away from Mecca. At-Ta'if is a city that's about 100 kilometers away from Mecca. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled from Mecca to At-Ta'if. The people of At-Ta'if, there were tribal tribes. One specific tribe that had leadership. The main leader passed away, so the leadership was divided amongst three of his sons. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled from Mecca to At-Ta'if with one of the companions. Name is Zayd ibn Haritha. And Zayd ibn Haritha was fostered by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of him from a young age. And Zayd was from amongst those who first embraced Islam. So now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam travels on foot from Mecca to At-Ta'if. Upon arriving to At-Ta'if, the tribe that was residing and inhabiting At-Ta'if, they were called Thaqif. Like you've got Quraysh Mecca, then you've got Thaqif At-Ta'if. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Thaqif, who are the inhabitants of At-Ta'if, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam met with their leaders. There were three brothers, Abdi Alayl, Mas'ud, and Habib. They were the children of one of their primary chiefs that passed away. His name is Amr ibn Umayr al-Thaqafi. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were up there, they've known the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from before. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to them something new. That is, believe in Allah and I am the messenger of Allah. Abandon and forsake and leave the worship of your idols. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were listening. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spoken, they start to make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they turned around and they said, "You came all the way from Mecca to here just to tell us about this new thing, this new innovation. And you want to tell us that you are a prophet, a messenger of Allah. Couldn't Allah just find anyone else beside you? If I'm next to the Kaaba right now, I will rip the Kaaba. If the Kaaba walks to me from Mecca to here, I won't even believe that you are a prophet, a messenger of Allah." They were making mockery to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despising the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look what he went through alayhi salatu wa sallam. So those three leaders, those three brothers will continue to make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the end, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw serious resistance from them. Rejection. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If that's the case, you don't want to believe in me, and you don't want to believe that I'm the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, as I came in here in peace, let me walk out of here in peace. I came in here in peace. Just let me walk out of here in peace. I don't want any trouble. I came here for no trouble. I want to walk out of here without trouble." They didn't listen. They gathered their young teenagers, their slaves, made them stand in lines. And while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your prophet, your messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest human being to ever tread this earth alayhi salatu wa sallam, while he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking out of a ta'if, those youngsters and slaves were casting rocks and stoning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making mockery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Calling your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved one in your life, more beloved than your parents and your children, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention, they were stoning the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, making mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spitting at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exits and walks out of a ta'if with a wounded body and a broken heart. Like, you know, all I'm trying to do is good to these people. I'm trying to save them from the hellfire. Look what they did to me. Zayd ibn Haritha tried to protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cover the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was also harmed. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was harmed more. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exits at ta'if. Wounded. Hurt. Bleeding. And his heart was also bleeding to see that scene that he saw from people that he's trying to save. At that moment, with full sorrowness, at that moment, with full sadness, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hands to Allah and makes this beautiful dua. Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I complain to you, the weakness of my strength. My weakness, I complain to you, Allah. وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي, my lack of resources. وَهَوَانِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, and the disrespect of these people to me. Who am I going to complain to, Ya Allah? I'm complaining to you. Ya أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ, you are the most merciful, the most gracious. أَنْتَ رَبُّ الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, you are the Lord of the weak ones. وَأَنْتَ رَبِّي, and you are my Lord. إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُونِي, Ya Allah, who are you going to let me go to? Who are you going to let me rely on? إِلَى بَعِيدٍ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي, to a distant person that will take advantage of me and mock me. إِلَى عَدُوٍ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَمْرِي, or to an enemy that will have full authority over me. إِلَّا لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. That part, that blows me away. Oh Allah, if you are not angry from me, regardless of what just happened to me right now, I don't care, as long as you are happy from me. If what happened to me in there pleases you, I'm happy. Subhanallah. When do you ever say that? The moment that you feel the pressure because you're a Muslim straight away, Islam. Why Islam is doing this to me?
It's my beard that's doing this. It's my hijab that's doing this to me. It's my salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through a very challenging moment, a big struggle. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Ya Allah, what happened to me in there? If it pleases you, I'm happy. As long as you're happy from me. وَلَكِنْ عَافِيَتُكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. As long as your pardon comes upon me, that's more important to me than anything else. أَعُوذُ بِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَسْرَقَتْ لَهُ الظُّلُمَاتِ. I seek refuge in the light of your face that had spread and taken over all darkness. وَصَلُحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And the matters of this world and the hereafter is depending on it. مِنْ أَن تُنَزِّلَ بِي غَضَبَكَ أَن تُنَزِّلَ بِي غَضَبَكَ. Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you, that you don't send down your anger and wrath on me. أَوْ يَحِلَّ عَلَيَّ سَخَطُكَ. And your anger to come upon me. لَكَ الْعُقْبَ حَتَّى تَرْضَى وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ. Ya Allah, I'll continue seeking refuge in you and asking until you are pleased, and there's no strength and power except in you. Subhanallah, amazing. Look what happened to him right now. And he turns around and says, Ya Allah, just what happened to me, as long as you are happy from me. You just got stoned and mocked and spat at, and now you turn around and say, Ya Allah, as long as you're happy from me. That's what you call faith. Reliance on Allah. Depending on Allah. Loving Allah. Striving for Allah. And giving up what you love most for Allah. And that's the character of a believer. You must stay strong regardless of what you see and encounter. You must stay steadfast and perseverant regardless of what you experience in life. At the end of the day, it's for Allah. And you want to seek the pleasure of Allah. So make sure you acquire the pleasure of Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shocked. He was amazed to see what he just saw. Shocked. That later on, after the battle of Uhud, Aisha tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a messenger of Allah, have you ever experienced a day worse than Uhud? He said, yes, the day of Ta'if. What the people of Ta'if did to me. This event, what happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ta'if, what is one of the worst events the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ever encountered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then and there, two angels, Angel Jibreel and Angel of Mountain. Angel Jibreel comes down and the Angel of Mountains comes down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Angel Jibreel said to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, O Muhammad, Allah had seen and heard what the people of Ta'if had done to you. And he sent down with me the Angel of Mountains for you to order him anything that you want and he'll do. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks to the Angel of Mountains and he says to him, O Muhammad, Allah had seen and Allah had heard what the people of Ta'if had done to you. And Allah had commanded me that whatever you command me, that I'll do and act upon it. And if you want right now, O Muhammad, I'll grab two big massive mountains and crush it on them. And he can do it. So what does the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say during that grieving moment? After these people just harmed him. There's a lot of rage and anger and emotions. Man, you just humiliated me. You just hit me. And I've got the opportunity to hit back. But he is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You are the one that we sent a mercy to the entire mankind. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies and says, no! No retaliation! Not crushing mountains on them. But I'd rather ask Allah to guide them, even if it's one person. Maybe one person Allah will guide on their hands. Maybe one person Allah will guide and bring to Islam. Just one. Subhanallah. Amazing. You just got attacked. You got smashed. And now you've got an opportunity for you to retaliate. And then you say, nah. That's a character of a prophet. Muhammad, rahmatan lil alameen, mercy to the entire mankind. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes near a farm that's owned by two men from the people of Quraysh. Subhanallah, coincidentally, they were there. They saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from far, sitting down, broken heart, hurt, cut. They felt sorry to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though they were against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Utba and Rabi'ah.
who are against the Prophet Muhammad, they're from the people of Quraysh, and they've been fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they feel sorry for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they sent one of their slaves. His name is Addas. He's a non-Arab from Babylon, which is Iraq, up north. And that time it wasn't an Arab place. So they sent one of their slaves with a platter of food to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or a platter of fruits. So when Addas came and offered the platter of fruits to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what's the first thing that you do when you want to start eating? You say, Bismillah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after appreciating this slave's offer through his masters or from his masters, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached out to the food and he said, Bismillah. Addas, who is that slave? He was shocked to hear Bismillah. He turned around and told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Bismillah. People in this town, in this province, don't say Bismillah. Where did you get it from? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, and where are you from? And what's your religion? He said, I'm a Christian. I'm from Nineveh, which is, you know, in northern Iraq, around the Babylon area. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, okay, so you are from Nineveh, which is the city and the town of the great prophet, the great prophet and Salih, which is righteous prophet, Yunus bin Matta. You are from the same city as prophet Yunus, alayhi salam. Addas freaked out. What do you know about Yunus? People in this town never heard of Yunus. No one knows anything about Christianity or even know specifically about Yunus. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he's my brother and he was a prophet and I am a prophet. So when Addas heard that, he went down to the feet of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, kissing the feet of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, kissing the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from far his masters, those two Arabs from Quraysh who are anti-Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and fought against the Prophet alayhi salam, are seeing Addas kissing the hands and the feet of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they called him, told him, what did you just do? He said, this man is a righteous man and he's a prophet and a messenger. So they told him, listen, Addas, your religion is better than his. Trying to manipulate him. But subhanAllah, the fruits start to harvest. The fruits start to appear, subhanAllah. Straight away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam just went through a very rough time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him the fruits. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns back to Mecca. Along the way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stops at a station. When I say a station, not a petrol station, at a place in the middle of the desert. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets surrounded by the jinn. And the jinn are creation of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with responsibility. So they listen to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam preaches to them. So they return back to their people saying, Inna qad sami'na Qur'anan ajaba. We heard an amazing Quran. Yahdi ila rushd. It guides you to guidance. It guides you to goodness. The same recitation as Musa, because they were the followers of Musa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam another fruit. And that's the jinn embracing Islam. Because the jinn are responsible in following prophets and messengers. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns back to Mecca under the protection of one of the people of Quraysh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now shows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam fruits. And amongst those fruits is the great miracle and journey of the Isra and Mi'raj, in which, inshallah, we'll talk about in the following weeks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept from you and make us from amongst those who listen to me. Act upon with the listening here. Subhanaka Allah hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure